It is Helping Hand, HPR1 stations on Friday as part of All Things Considered, and then online in our archive of Helping Hand segments at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we have a returning guest. We're going to be learning about Big Brothers Big Sisters of Hawaii. And this is an organization that's been around for decades in the state and, of course, on the mainland. And what they do is they try to pair children with carefully screened, trained volunteer mentors. And it's kids who could really use some guidance who are potentially at risk to end up having trouble in their lives with law enforcement or other kinds of difficulty and adversity that could affect the community at large. As you can imagine, a lot of vulnerable kids could really benefit from this kind of mentoring, and they provide hundreds of kids who are facing adversity with it. It's professionally supported one-to-one mentoring relationships, and they do it in a few modern ways, too. You may be surprised as we welcome our guest, who was the very first little brother ever for the organization in Hawaii. So he knows a little bit about how the program works and how it can be applied today to help out vulnerable people that you see in our community. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Hawaii President and CEO Dennis Brown back today. Great to see you, Dennis.
Aloha, Dave. Great to be here.
It's really a good time, I guess, to have you guys back on because there's just been this, we were sort of talking off air, there's just been this wave of crime in the community, a lot of violent purse snatchings, carjackings, a lot of stuff with guns, a lot of groups of young males, it seems, and cars sort of casing elderly or other vulnerable people in the Aloha State and in the Honolulu area in particular. And we were saying that in a lot of cases, Big Brothers Big Sisters has done such inspiring work helping kids who otherwise could end up in a difficult situation where they're at risk of being exposed to bad influences, I guess it would be, when they're young, and turn out to be kind of a detriment to themselves and society. And that's really one of the ways that your organization has shined through the years.
Oh, that's right, Dave. And you know, it's very sad and unfortunate that we seem to be having an increase, as you say, in waves of crimes committed by young adults or even teens.
Right.
And so it's one of the things that we want to address. And as we start a new decade, 2020, I'm proud to say that Big Brothers Big Sisters is really looking to focus more on being proactive and trying to reach those youths who faced some kind of or experienced some kind of a trauma in their lives that's led them to then act out or behave in a violent way. That's what a lot of the research shows. And so rather than waiting for people to kind of find us,
right,
because those are the people that usually have at least one person who cares about them in their life who is willing to reach out, and before they get into trouble, you know, we've always taken a preventive approach. We get those people already. But what we're seeing is that we need to be more proactive and reach out and form partnerships. So one that we did recently in November, this past November, is with the Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility.
Oh.
And now these are kids, teens that have already been incarcerated,
mm-hmm,
and it's unfortunate. What was really revealing to us when we met with the officials there was most, if not all, of these kids, and they're down to about 25 to 30 of them now. You know, the goal today is to not incarcerate as much as possible,
right,
but to try to rehabilitate. But for those who've been through pretty much every program already, Youth Challenge or whatever it is that hasn't worked for them, this is where they oftentimes end up. They have not a single person who ever visits them while they're there. No family. Family's given up on them, or there's no family in the picture because they're incarcerated or in drug rehab. They don't have friends or anyone. No one visits them. In some cases, they don't want anybody to visit them. They've given up on their family. They don't want their family to come. So we thought, what a great opportunity,
yeah,
to maybe place a big brother,
right,
in these boys' lives. And someone at a minimum, because they can't, some of them don't have privileges to leave, even on weekends, what they call furlough. So for those, at least someone to come and visit them who's not a parole officer or in the juvenile justice system that has to be there because it's their job. And so we just formed that partnership. We're actively searching for men who would be willing to work with a young man. It's really just about visiting them and talking to them, befriending them. And they're twofold. It's one, to help them through the time while they're in there, but it's also part of the reentry, so that when they leave, because they're all incarcerated for a certain amount of time, once they do leave, they'll have at least one person in the world that they've known and they can lean on.
And they've established that relationship with them while in that vulnerable spot of being incarcerated. And that person plays a huge positive role model. That's essentially the same role that and the same value that it has to people who are not incarcerated, ironically, the way you just described it, because those kids are in a lot of cases going to be just as more likely to accept that positive reinforcement from an outside source, like the way you were describing it, as opposed to a more organized, you know, source in their life. If they're already at risk, I'm saying, you know, it's kind of like that big brother can play the same exact role, whether a kid is already in trouble or getting towards trouble. So people in who, what's the ideal? Is there any ideal? There's no ideal age, huh? It's really, when you screen, when you say you want people to do this, I guess it's based on like the goodness of their heart, not so much, or what, because it's not really what they've achieved economically to be a role model, right? That's an interesting question. Who it is you're looking for to be your role models?
It is a very interesting question and a great question. And it's, It varies with the situation. So, for example, for this particular program with the youth who are incarcerated, what's interesting is that we discovered, we had to learn this because it's new for us as an organization, is that these kids are very street smart. They've grown up hard knocks, right? And so it's not just anybody that would fit. Because the kids are going to test you, as they always do.
They're going to screen
looking
you.
They're looking for street cred. Right. They're looking for somebody. So in this particular case, we're actually, you know, would be interested in having people, and I'm not saying it has to be every single one of them, but the people I think who would be a good fit are those who went through and experienced some of the same things in their childhood. And there are plenty of people out there. For example, that's how I became the first little brother, and that's how I eventually got into the position, decided to go into the work I do. Many, many people who work in human services experienced the same thing when they were young. So similarly here, they may not have been incarcerated, but they may have been close to being, or they may have been involved in a gang. And what we want to do is when these boys re-enter into the community, if they don't have anybody, at least one person, they're just going to go right back to the people that they were with before, which is going to be the gang or the people in the neighborhood or whoever it was that were the bad influences.
I know. Well, it's intervening. And then, like I said, sort of in introducing you in a way that helps everybody in the community.
Yeah, well, and that's our goal. You know, we want to make sure that what we're doing is relevant to the times. We've been in Hawaii, you know, 55, 56 years now, and times have changed. As you just mentioned, you know, there wasn't this kind of violence back in the 60s, not as prevalent as today. And so,
because you've been here this whole, excuse me, you've been here this whole time, and so that's interesting. So you can provide insight I could never. So you're saying that from the time you can remember, you never remember a wave of violence like we're going through being reported, at least anecdotally, the way that you're looking at it.
No, very true. In the 60s, even something as common today as the divorce rate wasn't nearly as bad in the 50s and 60s when I was matched as the first little brother. I was the product of parents who got divorced, and my mother was from Japan, didn't even speak much English, had to make it on her own and lived in public housing. But back then, in my class of, say, 20, 25 students in elementary school, there were maybe two or three of us who came from families that were divorced, where today it's 51%. So even that has changed dramatically.
Right. Yeah. So it's a lot of societal changes.
Right.
That you've
seen
go on. Mm-hmm. But that does say a lot that it's a, well, in a lot of ways, it makes your mission much more relevant. It's like as if there has never been a better time for big brothers, big sisters than right now. It's in a lot of ways, the current situation in Honolulu is a great example for kind of putting out the call for people, like you said, of different capabilities. And you were kind of describing one set of people that you would like to have get involved with your organization to help you with kids that are incarcerated and kind of people who've been through tough scrapes and made it out of that, and they can serve as a great role model and have the credibility to go through the screening process that a kid who is that kind of tough and with street smarts would use to determine whether I'll let a guy into my life, you know, in that mentor role. There's going to be a, you know, they're not going to just let anybody in like you were saying. But yet there's other kids too, right? So there's other people who could be listening that could serve just as much of a great volunteer role. So whoever else you'd like to put the word out to in addition to that subset.
Yeah, very definitely. You know, we always have a little bit of a greater need for men than women. I think it's women's nurturing nature that as soon as they hear what we're trying to do and say, oh, I want to do that right away. With men, it takes a little longer. They've got to think about it because it is a commitment. You're committing your time and yourself to a child, a youngster. And so, you know, to go back to your earlier question, it really doesn't take any special training or expertise. We provide that in an ongoing way because we have a case manager assigned to each pair for the life of that, the duration of that relationship until they get it to be adults, older adults, and they can carry on their own if they'd like to. And so really we take people in as young as 18 years old, but it's really about... to get back to what you were saying earlier, life experiences. You know, it's not a special kind of schooling or training necessarily, or how successful you are as a business person. Right. Yeah, it's really role modeling, kind of the social emotional skills, more so than say teaching someone how to be a businessman or something.
Right. Ethics,
like that.
And
ethics,
morality.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, that's like I said, couldn't have a better backdrop for the organization because a lot of people could be frustrated when they see things that are happening in the community and they wish that they could maybe take a stand against them. And it's like any number of the organizations that we have on Helping Hand, there are a lot of ways to give back. And this is a great time where this organization's role of trying to help at-risk kids not get into trouble and turn into more of a handful. So it's, I don't know, it just seems like it's a good time to have your message get out there. And one of the things that you had done this Holomua, am I pronouncing it right?
Holomua, correct.
And yeah. So as we talk about this modernization of, you know, so you're saying in one of your new approaches is rather than wait for the kids that are lucky enough that have somebody in their life who can guide them towards big brothers, big sisters, you're trying to go out there and aggressively get to the kids who need the help and need the re-guidance. One of the tools that you're also using in this new modern era, and we've talked about it over the last several years, is developing those relationships online too and allowing them to have this kind of online contact, which in 2020 is sort of an essential thing. Explain what happens with this thing and any new developments.
Well, correct. Our Holomua program formally we've actually moved away from that particular program, which was in the school-based, and we're taking it out more to the community, again, trying to be more proactive and reach out to students or youth who this would be more appropriate for. And so we expect or require our case managers to stay in constant contact with the little brother, the big brother, and the parent or guardian so that we always know what's going on among them because we can't follow them literally everywhere they go. And then also to make sure it's safe and to make sure that the child is getting what they need. We create an individualized plan for each youth according to their needs.
Right.
It could be, you know, not doing well in school, or it could be acting out or whatever have you. And so that's really a key thing. And as you know, in today's world, contact, especially with the youth of today, they like to text and they like to email or message via the computer. So with technology, we're encouraging, what we'd like to see is, because everybody's so busy, we only require that a big brother or big sister meet with their little brother or little sister 2 to 4 times a month. So every other weekend possibly, but we'd like them to stay in touch with them on a weekly basis because there's a lot of research that shows that that's really important. So even if it's a text or an email or a phone call in between the next time you're going to go out in person, it makes a world of difference.
It's like a reinforcing thing.
It is.
No, I get it. Yeah. And so is it still called Holomua?
No, we don't have that particular program anymore.
Okay.
We've actually even stopped.
Do you have an app?
No, we don't have an app yet. But
I bet next time you'll have your own little communication app.
And we're working on that because one of the things that we do is we do have our case managers monitor the conversations because some of these children are really young. And again, we want to be sure it's safe. So
yeah
so it's kind kind of a, it's a like a chat room on our through our website, through a portal.
It's amazing
right now. Yeah, and then not everybody has access right now to it, especially our, some of our families that don't have.
Yeah, right. So that's access, a good point. So. It would only be for certain people who even have the access to that.
Yeah.
And obviously, you do a major check on the background of these folks, and you do a lot of you know, work to try to make sure that you've got the right people involved. What are other ways that you could be supported in terms of not just, you know, we've heard about the people who could be volunteers to be big brothers and big sisters, right? That's what
yes.
we've sort of talked about. Mm-hmm. Are there other needs that you know, when you think about administering all of this stuff on the admin end of it that could help you? Or you know best, what other things you could use support on in addition to volunteers to play the mentoring role?
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things I think, because as with all smaller nonprofit organizations, capacity to run the operation is limited. And so one of the areas for us in particular is marketing, is having a greater social media presence to help us recruit more volunteers, and also to help us with fundraising and just awareness in general. So with this new initiative of being more proactive, in 2019, we must have met with at least 20 to 25 other nonprofit organizations. And interestingly enough, they knew our name, but they didn't really know what we do, the essence of what we do, because it's very unique,
right.
One-to-one mentoring. And so, you know, we just had a meeting with HUGS. I had another one with Make-A-Wish Foundation. We've the Youth Correctional Facility I mentioned. We Are Oceania, which is an organization that serves youth who are have immigrated from the Marshall Islands. Mm. And so, you know, and a whole variety of other ones, Kupu, many, many others, because what we realize is that that's where the need, that the children will be, and we can get the word out and partner with these organizations, not to take their clients from them, of course, but to add our service as an enhancement to that. And so, again, marketing is an area we could use help with if people have expertise in that, even graphic design of handouts and materials. We have a need. Occasionally, we have group match activities where we bring the bigs and littles together if they'd like to. We'll do hikes, we'll do beach cleanups, so we can occasionally use volunteers to help us, because we have a big group, we want to have more supervision, chaperoning.
Funding for that too?
And funding for that too, yes.
So yeah, people can help by making donations for that.
Right. They can designate donation or just make it totally unrestricted. It could be for funding or marketing or recruitment or...
Let me give your contact info, and you can think if there's other things, other ways that people could support you that, because as you know, people statewide driving in their cars, and you'll mull over ways that we haven't covered. It would be to reach them online and take a look at their website, where you can make a secure donation, correct?
Correct.
bbbshawaii.org, as in Big Brothers Big Sisters Hawaii.org. bbbs at bbbshawaii.org is their email address. Phone number is 808-521-3811. At hawaiipublicradio.org, you can find all the contact information plus the full-length interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. Talking about the innovative folks at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Hawaii, President and CEO Dennis Brown, very first little brother ever, and taking the organization into a whole new era with the technology of today, with new needs in the community today, which seems sort of almost tailor-made for the kinds of way you'd like to play a positive impact and role in vulnerable people's lives right here in the community. You think about other ways that we haven't talked about that folks could assist you, or that you know have popped in your mind?
Well, we do have we have some fundraising events where we can always use volunteers to help with the auction. You know, we can also companies, organizations that would like to donate, we call it in-kind gifts, such as gift certificates to a restaurant or things like that, that we could place in a silent or live auction.
What if a company had an interesting sort of workspace and they were like, you know, we would love to be a place that if they are looking for a cool activity that a big brother could take a little brother or a big sister could take a little sister to sort of inspire them, like, hey, we're going to get to go visit the such and such and get a private tour because that company heard us on the radio and said, you know what, maybe I know activities that these people do together are critical. It's not just about, of course, it's making the relationship, but sometimes doing something inspiring while you're doing it, seeing an interesting sports thing or behind the scenes at a business. But if there was anyone in a company and they were realized, wow, or just a visit to our place might be a great asset, maybe
absolutely.
I'll let him know. You'd like
absolutely
that.
We've had so we've had you know, macadamia nut, chocolate macadamia nut companies host us, or things like that, do a tour of their factory,
right,
or even of a smaller operation. Architecture firms have done that, so and any kind of company, any kind of businesses, because it is, when you think about it, even for us as adults, when you've got your own children or a nephew or somebody and you want to say, hey, let's go do something, you know, first question is, what do we do? And you know, I don't know, what do you want to do, you know? So it's good for us to be able to provide ideas and activities and opportunities like that. And that's wonderful. That's what we call a match activity. And they could do it as a group, or if they're open to having people come in on their own, a match go in on their own and just talk to people if they're interested in a particular career, or might just want to get exposed to something that they never thought of as a possibility.
And I didn't think of it when suggesting it. It could also just be a fun activity. It doesn't have to be like a business or something. So I guess I'm saying anybody who has, you know, you could have a movie theater. So it doesn't have
exactly.
to be. So if you have something like that, you can, they can get in touch with you directly.
Yes. And a lot of times people will donate their tickets. Like if they've got season tickets to a basketball or football or other game, and they can't make it that day, you know, if they give us at least a week's notice or a few days notice, then we can always get them out to some of our.
What a great time.
Yeah.
And again, at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, you can get the contact info for Dennis and the organization to get in touch with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hawaii. And lots of great things we put out there, all kinds of positive ways for folks to try to do something at every different level, too. And that's really cool. It's fun when you can do that, because then it makes it more accessible to people. I admire what you're doing. I hope you have a lot of success. I hope it helps bring a lot more kindness and compassion from everybody towards the rest of us, so that we can all be nice to each other. Thanks for trying to make a lot of nice people happen, which I know that's what the mission is.
Yes, thanks. And I feel like I just add that a new saying that I heard last year, it was actually on a documentary by Oprah, of all people. And, you know, we oftentimes look at children or youth or others who do something, who commit an act that's inappropriate or wrong or even criminal, and the first reaction is, what's wrong with you? And what we've learned is that, you know, a lot of these people have experienced trauma as children,
right.
And so we now want to ask, what happened to you? As you said, compassion, and how can we help? And so that's kind of our new mantra for Big Brothers Big Sisters, is in the way of looking at things.
It's a great thing. I'm grateful to put it out there. Thanks for coming, dude.
Thanks so much for having me.